Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That music doesn't make you feel good. You're not a proper American. Jim DeShays is on Twitter, at Jim DeShays, and the Cubs television analyst joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show with Steve Rosenblum sitting in. JD, how are you?
I'm well, Dan. Good morning. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Wherever you are, we wish we were there, because it's got to be warmer than this. Where are you?
I'm actually on a highway. We're on our way to northern New York to visit family. And you probably do wish you were where we were, because we just passed the RV Hall of Fame.
Is Joe Madden in it?
he's got to be, right?
There is an RV Hall of Fame?
Yeah. It's the RVMH, which I'm assuming is Motorhome Hall of Fame.
You got to be retired for 5 years before you're eligible.
That's right. Yeah. Is there a veterans committee where you know, if you don't have wheels?
They cut up your license, and yeah.
There is a rumor going around that you, of all people, you have one of, on this list here of at least 400 plate appearances and a batting average of less than 100, that you would be against the universal designated hitter. Is that true?
That is indeed true. I just prefer the National League style of play. I know all the arguments for the DH. I get it, and it probably will ultimately come to pass. But, you know, one of the things I really like about it is the fact that some, and I, like, as you mentioned, I couldn't hit a lick, but those guys that are able to distinguish themselves as hitters, I think that's really neat. I think, you know, some of the problems that it presents for a manager, you know, whether to pull his pitcher or not, makes it a little bit more interesting than the American League game. So, again, it's, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world for me if they do adopt it. I just prefer the NL. I don't mind the debate either. I don't mind having two leagues with separate rules.
Jim, we're going to put you on hold for a second and see if we can get a little better phone line established here. So, you know, I think that was really that was well said, because I think that there also is the truth that it's going to happen. It might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of our lives. It is going to happen again.
Nicely played.
Thank you.
Rick.
And understanding it and appreciating a certain nostalgia, a certain vestigial element is another aspect. So when you say you prefer, Jim, the National League style of play, why? I guess, what is it about that you enjoy?
I just like the idea that the you know, the manager is confronted with some decisions that an American League manager wouldn't be, you know, pinch hitting for the pitcher. I think it leads to more bench usage. And again, I like the notion of the pitcher playing the whole game. I like the idea that a pitcher has a chance to go out there and do something heroic. that is, you know, completely unexpected, you know, especially, you know, it's one thing for the guys who have a reputation for handling that very well. But sometimes a guy who can't hit much is able to come through and get a big knock and drive in a couple runs. I just think it adds to the narrative of any particular game.
One of the things about the pitcher hitting is it shortens games generally, and baseball has trouble with pace of play and shortening games, or even talking about taking out commercials. So how do you handle that? The pace of game has been, you've lived with this game all your life. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and I think that may be part of the conversation. The Players Association for years has been pro-DH in both leagues. You know, it's typically a higher-paying job that keeps guys in the game longer. If you're an everyday DH, you're going to be paid more than a bench player would be, or a 13th pitcher. So I think maybe from the league's point of view, the commissioner's point of view, and we had him on a couple of years ago, and at the time, he did not like the DH. He was saying that he promoted the idea of the National League staying, quote-unquote, pure. But perhaps it's a bargaining chip for him, where he could say, okay, we're going to give you the DH, but I want you to adopt these various other rules that are meant to speed up the game. So, you know, whereas the DH could make the game a little bit slower in and of itself, other things that he might get in bargaining might quicken the pace of the game. And I'm on board with that part of it. I do think we need to get the ball put in play more. I like, you know, pitch clock. I'm all in favor of that. I just want to see the action pick up. And, you know, the biggest issue for me on pace of play is seventh inning on, when our game is supposed to be its most exciting with the game on the line, with all the pitching changes and the strategy and the conversations and the slowdowns, that's when the game really slows to a crawl, when it should be its most exciting.
So do you like the possibility of a three-batter minimum being in place?
Or a two-drink minimum.
Right, but they're saying if you put a pitcher in, he's got to pitch to three guys.
I'm intrigued by it. You know, I'm sure there's unintended consequences. You know, so I would rather see it happen in the minor leagues first to see what it looks like down there, so we get a sense of what it does. I find it interesting that they talked about three as opposed to going to two, because for a while there, people were talking about forcing a pitcher to face at least two. Now three seems to be on the table. But I don't have a real good answer for that, because I simply haven't seen it in play. But I'm open to a lot of different suggestions. I like the idea of trying to, you know, pick things up a little bit.
Talking with Jim Deshays, Cubs TV analyst, just past the RVMH, the Recreational Vehicle Hall of Fame. Nothing says upstate New York like that. Jim, what about the two other things kicked around were lowering the mound again or moving it back? Address those.
Yeah. Again, you know, the biggest issue of the game, right, is increased velocity, the parade of power arms. So strikeouts are way up, walks are up. And that obviously keeps the ball out of play and decreases action. So, you know, if you move the mound back a little bit and you give the hitters a little bit better chance to put the ball in play, that's a good idea. But what does it do to pitchers' health? I don't know the answer to that. So, again, that's something that's going to have to be studied and played with. And I hate to make, you know, turn minor league pitchers into guinea pigs. I just don't know if there would be, again, unintended consequences from the injury point of view. But you know, I'd like all of it. I just think it's a good idea.
We were looking yesterday at on Pecota Day, on the baseball prospectus release of the Pecota-based projections, and looking at the Cubs at 82 wins and going through some of the granular data and trying to see how they got to that. And it's really easy to see that that algorithm is down on old pitchers. And they look for wear and tear, and they compare that as pitchers start to get to 33, 34, 35, the production seems to drop off. They also started baking in pitch framing and what a catcher can or can't do, and Wilson Contreras' value took a huge hit as far as what he can do to grab extra strikes and what that means for run prevention. I think the Cubs probably understand this. So do you think they're betting on, I guess, sort of a gestalt, that they're betting on the whole being greater than the sum of its parts? They're betting on with the coaching changes and with the clubhouse, on the connective tissue of the team, the immeasurables mattering more than the measurables?
Yeah, and I think sometimes you also hope that while those Pecota rankings and evaluations are quite good and they spend a lot of time crunching the numbers, there are always outliers, and there are, you know, guys that pitch well into their mid and late 30s and still pitch at a very high level. So I think Pecota reflects the danger that some of the veteran pitchers, and you know, you talk about Lester and Hamels, could go south. Internally, I imagine there's a belief that that's not going to happen, that those guys will continue to pitch at a high level. And I think, you know, you pin your hopes on a healthy, resurgent Bryant, a healthy resurgent Yu Darvish, and some of the bats that really struggled, like Contreras in the second half of last year, that proves to be an aberration, that he turns things around and becomes a very productive hitter. And the pitch framing stuff, I think they feel like that, you know, there's some things in the game that are very hard to learn and get better at. But I think that's one thing that, you know, you could see marked improvement in the future from Contreras. I'm not promising it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know Mike Borzello talks a lot about working with Contreras, and he believes that he's capable of making major strides in that department.
Talk with Jim Deshaies, Cubs TV analyst. When you look at the Cubs bullpen, are there one or two guys, and I'm thinking specifically of Dunsing and Kinsler, who absolutely have to be there? Are there guys who stitch this bullpen together?
Yeah, you know, Brian had an off year last year, obviously. And again, if there are rule changes about facing three hitters, that certainly minimizes the value of especially left-handers. But yeah, you'd need to bounce back from him. Kinsler has, you know, is just what, a year or so removed from an all-star season. Bullpens are so hard to predict from one year to the next. You know, guys run hot and cold. Sometimes it just depends on usage patterns and whether they get into a good groove earlier in the year. So, you know, and I think bullpens are things that you can tweak over the course of the season a little bit easier than you can your rotation or your everyday lineup. So where there may be concerns early, I think you can address that and tighten things up. And you just never know. Some of the younger arms, kids in the system, you know, Maples, Norwood, big arm guys, they figure it out and all of a sudden become high leverage guys. All those things are in play.
What are your expectations for how spring training is going to feel this year, especially in the wake of Theo Epstein's post-mortem press conference, when there was a clear call for a different kind of intensity? And I know that's a long time ago, but I still think his words are echoing, that it's still informing much of what happened, to have another upheaval in the coaching staff, to get to spring training with Joe on Madden, and call him a lame duck, call him whatever you want. He didn't get a contract extension, and there is going to be a different level of tension that's not necessarily a bad thing. What do you anticipate?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably going to be a little more businesslike than it has in the past, but I think Joe and a lot of people over there would tell you that they've always taken care of their business. You know, so Joe's going to continue to be Joe. He's going to have fun. He's going to try to keep it light. Everybody does that in spring training to some degree, except for maybe Mike Matheny. I don't know that for sure. That's just my take on Mike. He seems like a very serious guy. But yeah, I think there'll be a little bit different tone coming out of camp. I think it'll be a little more businesslike, perhaps a little bit more serious-minded, maybe less of some of the antics that we typically see in spring training.
Jim, thanks as always. Enjoy your visit to upstate New York, wherever you may be. Drive safe.
Thank you very much. I will bring you guys burgers from the RV Hall of Fame.
Thank you so much.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.